Live, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor, CHI Memorial. Good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed, and good morning to all of our listeners. It's great to be here representing CHI once again. Thank you, CHI, for all you do for our community. And we still have, you know, all the procedures in place. If you're wanting to see any of our providers within CHI, well, guess what? We're ready to see you. Everything's open and running. We've got in-person and virtual visits, prefer in-person. All you have to do is, give a call, check online. We are there. Of course, our office is down off of Battlefield Parkway, my office, 4700 Battlefield Parkway. If anybody ever needs anything from any of the nine of the providers there, just give us a call, 861-4990. That's area code 706. So we're slowly, I guess, Ed, you know this, but we're building up that building for CHI, getting more and more primary care and specialists and subspecialists there, so keeps growing. We've got the Mary Ellen Locher Breast Center downstairs and a great radiology center that continues to grow. We love that. And hopefully, once the, I had one of my patients call it the Coronapalooza. I like that. Once the Coronapalooza is more stable, maybe after vaccines, we should hopefully get started with our 60-bed hospital right where the parking lot now stands. So hopefully we will break ground for that. Thank you again, CHI, for all you do. People, don't be scared to see your provider. But if you are sick or think you have COVID, just give a call first. I mean, we'll tell you what to do. And we have a great set of procedures for that. So don't be afraid. Yeah, you hear all the negative on the TV and doom and gloom. And Ed and I want to not spread doom and gloom, but spread a little wisdom and knowledge and have people behave prudently. Nothing wrong with that. I will say, a few days ago, Ed, we were at the Macaulay game. You know, my youngest cheers for Macaulay, has for, gosh, a long time. And I noticed that about every 10 or 15 minutes, I think the TSSAA makes them do this. I don't know, but it was so regular, I'm thinking they do, had to announce that, you know, everyone has to wear, you know, facial coverings to keep socially distanced, to sit this far away. You know, Macaulay's very careful with their student body. And, you know, they were sitting all properly, you know, distance. Part of me didn't like it. Part of me was very proud of the students for how mature they were. I mean, they were able to have a great time at the game and abide by all the rules. And, of course, Macaulay beat Calhoun. That was fantastic. They came from behind to win. Way to go, Big Blue. But, you know, it's I'm hoping, a lot of us were talking about that in the stands. We're hoping that is not going to be our long-term new world, that we're always going to have to do this. So, you know, it's a talking point for all the patients in the office, probably for you, and we may speak about it further here. But it's an interesting and controversial subject, as we all know so well, maybe even worse than politics. My thanks also go out to Benchmark Physical Therapy. Thank you for all you do. I work with the Fort Oglethorpe office and also LHC Group, Louisiana Healthcare, another one of our sponsors through Home Care Solutions Home Health in Ringgold and Dalton. Thank you for all you do. And Heartlight Hospice of Dalton. They continue to do fantastic ministry to a lot of people suffering in the North Georgia area, and actually there are offices all through the Southeast, but that's the one I work with. So Ed, I know we'll talk about a lot. There were some, I don't know if you call it strange or unique places that I have been this last week, and I want to hear if you've done anything fantastic. How's work? How's Nutrition World? And what's going on in your life?
Thank you, my friend. And you and I are both very, very busy little characters, no doubt. Nutrition World is probably, or not probably, the numbers prove we are busier than we have ever been in 42 years. And it's a blessing to me. I do know that people are embracing self-care to a level that I never dreamed possible, especially in a short period of time. That's one of the pluses of the pandemic. And everything has pluses and minuses, regardless of what names we put on it. And we sometimes need to focus as much on the positive or more than we do the negative. I will talk about in the third segment, because we have a great interview on the second, I do want to go back and review my experience having COVID on June 7th. It was an interesting time, and I want to give my personal testimony on my experiences. And I was holding back on that for many weeks due to my staff thinking it would create too much controversy in the city by me saying that I had gotten it. But I, you know me pretty well, Dr. Green. I can't really keep my mouth shut for too long, and normally not long at all. But in this case, I did since June 7th. But I want to talk in the third segment about that. I do want to mention, and I didn't mention this to you even before this, I have eaten at two places, both of which I have not eaten at in years, and had two of the best meals I can remember in many, many months. But last Saturday night, I went to Canyon Grill, and they are no longer owned by the same people, because Canyon Grill people also own Sugar Ribs and Track, is it the place in Red Bank, or three other restaurants. But they were so exceptional. The service, the food, the quality, the taste, it was beyond belief. I will go back there often. It is a long drive, but it's a beautiful scenic route if you go past where the hang gliders jump off. I always used to go there with my dad when he was living.
I haven't been there in, I can't even remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to make reservations. I could not believe the amount of people who were lined up.
Nice.
You do have to bring your own wine. They do not. It is a dry county. And the second place, which you told me about to eat, because I am very focused on the quality of foods, and very picky about it, because I think we should all have intimate relationships with people that we care about, but also the food that we consume. Well, I went to Edley's Barbecue. You had mentioned it.
Fantastic.
Many times, but I want to, it wasn't on a menu, it was on a special menu, and it was a,
yes,
a beautiful plate.
I had that before.
Have you?
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it, people.
And what it is a round plate, and I had turkey on it, and it had two of the best tasting avocados, I mean, the entire avocado, with cucumbers, pico sauce, a bunch of great lettuce, not the old cheap blank nutritive void lettuce that you find on salad bars, but very good mixed greens, and it was to die for. It
was their special like a month or two ago, and they had pictures of it out, and we tried it.
Okay,
good salad.
It was, and so filling, and it meets my keto requirements. Keto, of course, is a higher fat diet, and that's what I'm living on, with modest protein and lower carbohydrates. And I was I'm hard to fill up, even though I'm kind of skinny. I have a big appetite, and it really did fill me and satisfied me. So Edley's, I would recommend highly.
Well, and for those who travel, we talked about it just a little bit. I've got some friends down in Woodstock, so that's not terribly far away. I had never been there, it's embarrassing to say. But I ate at a place called the Freight Kitchen and Tap, I think it was. But some of the best food I've had in a long, long time. So anyway, I don't know the other places down there in Woodstock. That was fantastic. I had to bring my friends up here and took them to one of my other favorites. And I don't think you've been there yet. It may not meet your requirements, but Base Camp. And I love to sit outside. It's got a beautiful view of the walking bridge. And so we had actually Aubrey Knight. Some of our intrepid listeners might remember she was actually on our show probably a year and a half ago. I don't know the exact timing. And so she is one of my good friends, a nurse practitioner. Her husband, Adam. Adam, shout out to you, Navy SEAL. Thank you for your service. And we had a fantastic time. And I love the dry rub wings there. Mm. Fantastic. Now, I'm a big fry snob, and they have some of the best fries in town. I have to admit that. We did have, it was a pimento cheese dip that I've never had there before. Again, I like I used to hate pimento cheese, but when it gets a little spicy, put some jalapenos in it or something, it's unique. And they have several unique sauces you would probably like. Anyway, they've got a lot of good food selections, and you're going to have to try it one day.
I will try it, but I am picky, though, as you certainly realize. I did eat one other place, and I eat there, and I will continue, but I have to be cautious at Carrabba's. I ate there two nights ago, and I got this halibut, which I'd never had. Well, it had a sauce on it. I should have known better. Regardless of what they believe at Carrabba's, they simply don't know what they're serving. It has MSG in it.
I was going to guess.
And when my heart rate goes from 52 to 76, which is not as bad as it had been sometimes with Caesar salads, it's nothing but MSG. And the reason the restaurants don't know is because they don't know all the hidden words. Yeast extract is MSG. Natural flavorings can legally be used as a term for MSG. So when they look at their packages, they're saying, oh, we don't use it. Yes, you are using it. So be cautious of sauces. That's where a lot of this MSG, which is very, very debilitating for some people like me. I did not go to sleep until about 1 o'clock in the morning and had to get up at 4. So, you know, 3 hours sleep. Thank you, Carrabba's. No thank you. I will go back. I love their food, their quality, their service, but I just wish restaurants would step up to the plate with being more knowledgeable about what they actually are serving.
And just out of curiosity, do they make any easy ways to figure out if there's MSG in a product?
None whatsoever. And I've really looked at even, is there at-home test or, you know, test kits that I could purchase to even test a food? There's none.
That's what I was thinking.
It is like a hidden chemical that is off the radar. I don't know.
You know, it should be possible.
It's possible. And I wish we could invent something, some kind of eyedropper you could put on there and if it turned a certain color.
Or a test strip.
Or, yeah, yeah. Well, brother, it's time to take a break. When we come back,
so fast.
We're
going
to be talking about sepsis, which is a current and has been current for a couple years, not even just pandemic, with a physician that is skilled in how to treat that. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And we're going to talk today about something called sepsis with Dr. Codsey. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Dr. Codsey.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I know Dr. Green certainly has far more experience than I do with this, but being in the field, the nutrition field I've been in for 42 years, watched a lot of people struggle and some people pass away with this thing called sepsis. Tell us the background information of this for people who are listening, Dr. Codsey.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people use the term very generally without really explaining what we're talking about. So when we say sepsis, it means more than just somebody being very sick. Sepsis is something that happens when you have an infection and your body, in a sense, overreacts. And that infection can be something severe. It can be, we think about a bacteria in the blood or some very serious infection like that. Sepsis can also happen with a pneumonia, which many people, of course, feel is serious, but it doesn't have to be your whole lungs involved. You can have a pneumonia that you go to the hospital for. Your body reacts to that, the inflammation in the body and everything else, and that causes people to get very, very sick with symptoms that are more due to their immune system and its reaction than to the actual infection itself.
And that is similar to what's going on, of course, with the COVID pandemic, because that's part of the cytokine storm that creates this over-aggressive immune system, that there's like kidney damage sometimes, and all this can just start spiraling on a patient, and before you know it, they're in deep trouble, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why it's so important to treat these infections early.
Well, what kind of things would you tell people to look for, like symptoms they may have?
So, you know, there's a mnemonic for sepsis. You know, there's a mnemonic for everything. But the mnemonic for sepsis is time. So T for temperature, I for infection, M for mental decline. So when people start to develop symptoms of sepsis, they often get very somewhat confused or very tired, less energy, can't focus. And then E stands for extremely ill. They look sick and they feel sick. So, of course, by the time they develop these symptoms, that's when we really have to jump on it. It focuses on the importance of catching these things early. So especially in certain individuals who have other diseases, for example, diabetes, as you know, if the diabetes is not well controlled, or even if it is well controlled, many people with that are more likely to develop infections in general. So the key there is before the infection develops to the point that your immune system overreacts, get it treated.
Does dehydration play a role up to increase the risk of this?
I mean, in a sense, anything that makes your body weaker is going to make you more likely to get infected. And when you get infected, there's always the risk for sepsis. Dehydration is probably not one of the highest on the list. But again, anything that weakens your body in general.
Yeah, I certainly buy into that from the approach that I have spent my life with, is, you know, speaking and looking at nutrition and nourishment and the strength of the body. The weaker the body, the more susceptible we all will be to critical situations. That would even include a car wreck, because, you know, the stronger we are, the more durable and resilient. And of course, that plugs into why I've said earlier, nutrition world's busier today than we've ever been in 42 years, because people are finally embracing more self-care. Because one positive of the pandemic is it's showing that the basic vitality within the human system is very important to not get into a high-risk area with any disease, but especially with COVID, and that's important. Now, I know that with sepsis, it can come on very quickly, can't it?
It can. Again, it depends. It depends on the body's reaction. Some people's bodies don't overreact in that way, and some are incredibly sensitive and just, like I said, I hate to say simple pneumonia, that's a term we use in medicine, but a small pneumonia can trigger sepsis.
Well, let me ask you this, thinking towards Ed's question about, you know, COVID-19. Over the years, have you seen higher risk for a septic type reaction with viral infection, COVID-19 or otherwise, versus bacterial, say a bacterial pneumonia?
Yeah, it's going to depend on the virus, of course, and I know you're aware of that. The bacteria, though, tend to be more likely to trigger from what we're seeing. But some of the more aggressive viruses, like the COVID-19 is a classic example, we see that immune system just going crazy and causing symptoms such as drops in blood pressure. And when the blood pressure drops, as I think you mentioned earlier, you can cause damage to organs such as the kidneys or the liver, and that starts a cascade.
Well, and I know that, you know, sometimes when people are very sick, so let's just say at home, they've, you know, got the fever, and it's not like it's going to happen often, but that one situation where we have a fever, we do feel lousy, there's no doubt, but that part of us where the mental state, is it like literally like very unclear thinking, irrational thinking? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
It is really what we're talking about, a lack of clarity of thought. They can't get their ideas together. They may not be able to express themselves appropriately because they're not thinking right. And it really is hard. I think that what you're asking too is, where do we draw that threshold? I mean, do we run to the ED every time we have a mild fever and some symptoms? And it's tough to draw that line because it's different for everyone. I think the issue is, if you're sick, touch base with your physician. Mm-hmm. Call the office, tell them what you're experiencing. Let the physician evaluate. Is that something that's going to necessitate coming into the hospital, going to their office, going into a walk-in clinic, or do they feel comfortable saying, you know what, these sound like symptoms, you can stay at home, treat them with some Tylenol, some Advil, something like that, and let me know if things get any worse.
Well, that's really good advice, obviously, but the issue with me, and I don't know if I'm in kind of a bubble kind of world, but I would say a good percentage of the people I talk to every single day, and I work 6 days a week, we have 300 people a day who walk in, many of them don't have a physician or one that they have close contact where they could do it. Many people don't have the insurance, and so they're sitting at home, of course, going to Google, trying to figure out, or their family is, and that's a scary situation because, and especially with COVID, you know, people are more, sometimes less likely to try to pursue a office visit because of those fears. So it's kind of a scary place to be. Is there, and I know this may not be for the public, it is a little more for me, I'd like to learn more, what are the initial blood tests that would tell you that a person is entering sepsis?
So So there's very specific what we call criteria that define what is sepsis formally. And some of those look at the white blood cells. So those are, of course, the cells in your body that fight infection. So we're looking to see if those are going up, which they do, of course, in many types of infection. We also look at when your body, when you're exercising and you're out there running, you build up something called lactic acid because your muscles are working really hard. Well, when your body's working really hard to fight an infection, you build up the same thing. So that's another blood test we look at, something called lactate. We look at tests that tell us how the kidneys are working, how the liver is working, and we put all those together. And those, along with if someone's heart is racing, again, a sign that they're working really hard, if they're breathing hard because they can't catch their breath, if their blood pressure is low, there's a lot of things that we put together and say, hey, putting all these pieces together, this is very concerning for sepsis.
Now, can someone get sepsis who is doing a massive CrossFit routine or a marathon? Can it come on from that?
You know, you have to have an infection.
Okay.
So the one thing that defines sepsis is the presence of an infection. So I guess in a sense, if you're infected and you push your body very hard, too hard, then you can push yourself over the edge to something that's much more severe like sepsis. Now, you can have symptoms from overexercising, such as heat exhaustion, heat stroke, drops in blood pressure, things like that. That's not sepsis, but it is, of course, serious.
And there are guidelines, by the way, Ed, for sports, checking temperature before you go participate because, yeah, you can get a lot of, let's just say, bad things if you try to exercise sick.
And so if you didn't have a temperature, that would be a probable sign that if you're feeling lousy, it probably isn't sepsis. But I know it's not an exact science.
I would
science.
Say probably not. Of course, it depends. Again, we never say never in medicine. There are always exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So certain people on certain medicines are less likely to have a fever. So, and those are the ones we often have to be very careful about.
You know, Dr. Consey, with my background in primary care, I'm always looking for how to prevent things, hopefully, or to reduce the risk. What would you tell people if they want to reduce their risk of infections and sepsis? What can they do?
So, I mean, all the things we all talk about, which staying healthy, eating right, getting your rest, and then, again, coming back to things like diabetics, one of the things that we often see in people with diabetes is they don't feel their feet quite well. So we always tell them to keep a very close watch for any cuts or nicks on their feet because those have a high risk of getting infected. So keeping an eye on those, keeping them clean. Those are the types of things we focus on to prevent infection.
And we're talking about, Ed talks a lot about general states of inflammation in the body. Would you say if someone does have an underlying higher inflammatory response in their body from something pre-existing, are they at higher risk of developing sepsis and organ failure?
Sure. If someone has an over, and that's something, you know, I'm sure there are tests somewhere for, but we don't do them standardly. If someone does have a tendency for their immune system to overreact, absolutely, they're going to be at a higher risk.
That's interesting. Very interesting. This is a topic that I don't think is mentioned enough because I have seen it often enough to know that it isn't anything to mess with. It's something that can come on very quickly. It's not a wait-and-see type of sickness if you truly have it. You're going to be in real trouble within 24 hours if you don't seek something. And I know I live in a different world than you two do, but I embrace all worlds of health. But I do know there's a Dr. Paul Merrick who's got a great track record of using IV vitamin C, hydrocortisone, and B1 in order to treat the sepsis. And I did have an IV clinic for several years at Nutrition World, and we were doing some of that. And also raising vitamin D levels to me are imperative. If they're below 32 nanograms per milliliter, you're going to have an overreaction of illnesses. But I just can't thank you enough, Doctor, for informing all of us. Is there a site for people to learn more about sepsis?
So there is a lot of people are going to the CDC websites these days. So certainly there is a CDC website, cdc.gov/sepsis. And it gives some very common symptoms of sepsis, things to consider with sepsis, and ways to take care of yourself to try to avoid that.
And lastly, so if a person has or a family member has these kind of symptoms and they don't really have a good relationship with a great physician like you or Dr. Green, just go to the emergency room, right?
I think they should, certainly if they're developing symptoms that we've talked about that are suggestive that they are already showing signs of sepsis, they need to get taken care of quickly.
Because this is not something people can treat at home. Not going to happen.
Oh, no. Goodness, yeah. No.
Good. I think you've made some wonderful points, and thank you for taking your time to join us this morning on Vital Health Radio. And come to see me at Nutrition World if you're ever by on Lee Highway. I'd love to meet you.
All right, I will. And thank you so much.
It's
an important topic. I appreciate you taking time on the show to discuss it.
It's going to help many, many people. Well, it's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about your health and my experience with COVID. So we've got that plus more to come. With Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And I said I'd be talking a little bit about my own personal experience with COVID. And certainly, if you've got any cool stories from any of your patients, we'd like to hear. Because, you know, a lot of people I speak to at Nutrition World, and again, as I mentioned before, we have about 280 to 320 people a day who come in, and they're all looking, not all, a big percentage are looking for more self-care information and education. Now, some walk in and say, you know, I want that keto drink that you talked about on Facebook. But a lot of people are asking to be informed, and many of them are less fearful today than they used to be about COVID, because their eyes are showing that it's not the end of the world as we were first presented. It is something to respect, something to follow the rules on, but they also want to hear personal experiences. Well, I wrote up, and it will be posted in the next coming days, about my experience. I was in Florida on June 7th, woke up with a cough from hell about midnight. And actually, because I follow the protocols of several physicians I trust, one of which is Dr. Michael Smith off of my podcast, The Holistic Navigator, he had a protocol that if you get feeling ill and you think it's that, then this is what you do. Well, I had taken my goodies down to Florida with me and really didn't think it was that at all. I just thought I had got into this new condo that was just remodeled. I mean, we were the first people there, and new paint, new furniture, new this. And I'm pretty dang sensitive to chemicals. And I just assumed that I was having some kind of allergy reaction, because you could smell the newness in there. And I can't stand that. And it's actually unhealthy for us. So I started my goods just like I do. I don't care what's going on. I just make sure I'm adding more nutrients. Well, the next night I was only coughed 50% less. And then by the third day I had no cough. But I did have lack of appetite and some fatigue, but yet I still enjoyed the beach. I hung out at the condo. I didn't mix with other people. Not that I thought it was COVID. I just was hanging out at the beach and was perfectly fine, other than a little bit of tiredness and less appetite. Well, I didn't think a thing about it. Came back, and we do blood testing at Nutrition World the last Friday of every month from 8 o'clock to 11. And we're getting so busy with this because people want to, again, embrace self-care. But last month, the girl said, we now have an antibody test, the latest one that we feel is the most accurate. And she said, do you want to get a test? I said, sure, because she was going to give it to me for free. And so I did it. 2 days later, she calls and said, Ed, you actually are the very first person that this lab has tested that has full antibodies against COVID and SARS-2. And I was like ecstatic, because I actually wanted to get it so I could have protection. I wanted to get it so I can experience what it actually felt like. So we're not just reading the headlines. We're actually speaking to someone who has lived through it. And I was shocked. I really, at that moment, said, bingo. The only time I felt bad was in Florida for that 8 or 9 days I was down there. And so, saying all of that, I can at least attest to a personal a testimony about how it felt. It wasn't great, I will have to say. Fatigue lasted 2 to 3 weeks. Lack of appetite lasted 2 to 3 weeks. But beyond that, I didn't have any other symptoms. Well, it sucks to not feel as energetic as normal, but I was, you know, I was still functioning very well. I certainly wore my mask. I did all the precautions, not thinking anything at that time. But it was a interesting way to things turned around on me with all that and the tests, because I truly would have bet $100 I would have not had antibodies.
Well, I mean, look at how you live. You have a healthy lifestyle and, you know, lots of preventive measures, all your vitamins, and lo and behold, you did not have a serious case. It doesn't sound like. I mean, it didn't stop you. So that's fantastic. But, you know, so many people out there, we hear of a lot of the sports celebrities that will come out and say, oh, no, I just tested positive. I'm completely asymptomatic. So, you know, just like so many people in the world, they probably had it. And probably there are a ton of people listening that had it and have no clue they had it. And they just haven't been tested. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked early on, gosh, right at the very start of all this, and we talked about viral propagation models. And it's done exactly what I said it would, but that's just because they always do. But it's not remarkable that you've had it, I don't think. What is the great thing, the testimony, is how little symptoms you had, which is fantastic. And there are a lot of us that, you know, before, how many people had a cold before we knew what COVID-19 was and just shrugged it off? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we'd still go to the gym, we'd do everything we're going to do, but we're not that sick. So we just, you know, put up with it and maybe complain about it. And it will be an interesting thing if we can do that without all going on to some tracing program to be able to find out were we exposed or not, maybe around the time we have vaccines coming out. I don't know.
Well, I do believe that the vaccine coming out, I certainly have my concerns and fears of that. But I think it's going to ease the panic of the public. I do really, really appreciated this report that came out. And I posted it on the Vital Health Radio's Facebook. It has the numbers, 26,000 positive COVID-19 tests on 29 college campuses, and not a single hospitalization, not one. 26,000 positive. So it's not the demon we first thought. Yes, it can be deadly. Again, those people who have very severe health conditions that would warrant them to never get it, they're going to have to be taking care of their own self and probably quarantine a lot more and be very cautious. I know the CDC does say now that you need to be within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes to have substantial risk of getting it. That certainly is a far cry from the early days when we thought we could be looked at from 6 feet away and get it. And now it shows. And in fact, you know, in Florida with the my partner in my condo, very close contact for 8 days. She did not get it. And we actually tested her antibodies last month because I just could not believe that if I had had it and such close contact that she didn't get it also. But she didn't. So it's not that easy to give, unless a person's extremely unhealthy, than it probably is. I mean, wouldn't you think so? The more unhealthy, the more chance you have of probably getting it.
Absolutely. And you're right. We're led to believe that this is, you know, just walking down the street or jogging by someone that has it, that you would catch it. And you're right. The CDC says otherwise, and I would listen to them. Granted, the flip side to that is that is an educated guess, but it's a educated guess. That's the part to remember, educated. So people that are more expert on it than you or I have come up with those guidelines, and we should remember. But still, if somebody, you know, I see the people out there, again, I say this over and over on the radio, you know, I'll be on my bike or jogging and see people alone in the middle of nowhere with a mask. Well, that makes them feel safer. Peace of mind is priceless. And so if that gives them peace of mind, go for it. Enjoy. But I will tell you this, I have, like we wore the couple nights ago, everybody had to have a mask at the game. When you're in, you know, 95 degree heat, that makes breathing hard. And the people that are, say, cheering with a mask on, that's even harder to exert yourself. And, you know, I've asked them, and it's very difficult to exercise with a mask on. So, you know, there are a few of the behaviors I see that are, I think, more based in fear. But when we're around people like we're talking about, in closer proximity, yeah, wear your mask, use social distancing when you can. There are certain times that it's probably impossible. I saw a lot of crowds at the game Friday night, and, you know, part of me said it was nice to see people living their life and having fun. The Macaulay side, I would say, was extremely well behaved. Way to go, Macaulay, for, I don't know how they did that, to get all those young men to socially distance for 3 hours. That was impressive, like herding cats, but they did it. But we still want everybody to not live in fear. We don't want these businesses to go bankrupt. We talk almost every week, we haven't done that this week, about the places that have gone under again, but it continues to happen. And I don't know if you have even more for this week.
You know, I have been watching, and I don't have any list this week. I do know that I had seen one or two, but I failed to put it in my notes. I do also, and I keep harping on this, the level of vitamin D that we enter into any disease with, but especially this one, is critical, because a huge studies have been done that confirm the lower your vitamin D, the more severe reaction you possibly could be having to any infection, but especially this one. And that's why Nutrition World has offered for months now free vitamin D to all teachers and all healthcare workers. Because if we can raise that level to at least 32 nanograms and hopefully 50 in an ideal world, significant things can change as far as your health. It's hard to raise it overnight, people. That's why doing preventative measures like raising it now before you get sick, it's kind of like, okay, I want you to run a marathon with me, and you're not going to start training till the day of the race, and it's just not going to make good sense. We need to train before that to create the strength and resiliency. Speaking of that, how's your workout going?
You know, I have been able to go more. You know, it's not as much as I would like, say, from a few years ago. But, you know, that was, I was easily going 6 days a week, sometimes seven. But it's still improving over time. Thank you for asking. Getting to run and lift, getting back into my previous routine. Not quite as much, but I'm also trying to make it one. I used to go for 2 or 3 hours at a time. I don't know how long you spend, so I'm trying to make a good workout around an hour. Mm-hmm. That way it doesn't interfere with the rest of my life too much. So I think we can go a little more often and regularly that way. And so far, it is working out, and I can feel it in my body. I tell you what, the good aches and pains are back.
I like that term, good aches and pains. My stomach is actually hurting today because I did a new ab workout yesterday. I do want to talk about a little bit something called regenerative farming. And, you know, I'm very well read about all this stuff, but I really didn't know what that term meant. It's a very, very important concept for our health, our future. And on my podcast, The Holistic Navigator, I interviewed one of the experts in the United States on regenerative farming. And The easiest way to understand this, and I promise you will enjoy this documentary called The Biggest Little Farm on Netflix. It's a couple who purchased some barren land about 8 years ago, I think near California, that was looked like a half desert, had nothing on it. And in a period of 3 years, they created the most beautiful symphony of plants and animals and bugs and pests and coyotes that all worked within harmony to preserve the integrity of the land. And it was a very hard road for them, and it was such a well-done movie. But what it created was the ability to grow foods without chemicals, the ability for the foods to contain so many more nutrients than your foods that we're now purchasing that are grown in other countries, grown on depleted soils, picked before they're ripe. Foods are not just a commodity like gasoline in your car. They're feeding this massive system of the human blood system in order to create harmony. When you're out of harmony, you are going to be out of optimal health. There's no doubt. And I look for harmony emotionally, physically, and certainly in my blood chemistry. And the foods we're putting in simply is creating disharmony. So I would really like you to listen to The Holistic Navigator on regenerative farming. In fact, these people will send you foods boxed up in freezer packs that are grown on a regenerative farm. I don't know of anyone around here who's growing it that way, but there are growing numbers. But The Biggest Little Farm on Netflix, highly, highly recommend people to watch that. I've watched it twice. I actually watched it once on an airplane flying somewhere, and then I watched it about a month ago because I just loved it so much.
So that's a Netflix original?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Where is that, the farm, the actual farm?
I think it's in California, but I'm trying to think for sure. I'm not positive, but it could be done anywhere, this type of philosophy. But what it is it takes 2 to 3 years to create the symphony of harmony within the soil. And everybody gives up before that because they're having to be patient. And everything's falling apart while you're trying to attract the right bugs and the right this and the right that. In fact, yesterday a rep came in, and I've never been a huge fan of ginseng, but there's a company making this new red ginseng that is supposed to be phenomenal for men's stamina, energy, all the physical components, and lower stress hormone. I've never felt the benefit of ginseng in my past, and I've taken more than any human you've ever listened to of supplements. But this one is grown hydroponically. But what I found was so intriguing. See, plants produce something called phytochemicals because they are getting a message that they need to do it to protect themselves. So it's really cool. They grow this red ginseng hydroponically, and I will make this quick, that, of course, is not in the soil. Well, so it's not really being connected to the real natural state. Well, the only reason there's a compound in red ginseng that makes all the magic happen. Well, the reason that the red ginseng makes this compound is because it needs to make it to protect itself. It's not doing it for me or you. So what they did was they actually played music to the red ginseng of caterpillars eating leaves. Well, guess what? That noise of the caterpillar eating leaves sent the message to the ginseng plant hydroponically, we better make this certain ginsenoside because that's what keeps us healthy against the caterpillar. But that compound is what makes me feel more viral and have more stamina. So I'm going to bring you some samples next week, and I want you to experiment with that, brother.
Well, we've heard people singing to their plants for years.
Yes.
Maybe there's some truth in it.
Absolutely. Well, I have gone over the limit. It is time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuning in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And, you know, normally Dr. Green has his spiritual moment, but I've kind of just asked him if just today I could kind of do an inspirational moment. I've been getting a daily update from a site that has to do with Stoic feelings and Stoic history that focuses back on Seneca and 2,000 years ago and some of the most advanced thinkers of that era. And when you start reading about their philosophy, I just love the things that they said about. Keep in mind, you know, 2,000 years ago, how different life had to have been. And this is what I had read this week that I have copied, and I actually have reread it 4 or 5 times. And this was part of this was written 2,000 years ago, except twisted for today's times. You've been kicked around by life. That's true. Where other people had it easy, you've had to struggle. And you didn't get into the college you wanted. Your parents couldn't buy you the car. You had to wear glasses. You've watched as other people hit it out of the park on their first try, getting breaks that you've had to work your ass off for. You've been insulted. You've been fired. You've been crapped on, and you've been brought to tears. It's unfair, you say. It'd be better if it had been otherwise. But is that true? Do you know that for a fact? No prize fighter can go with high spirits into the strife if he has never been beaten black and blue. Seneca, from 2,000 years ago, wrote this to his friend Lucilius. The only contestant who can confidently enter the list is the man who had seen his own blood, who has felt his teeth rattle beneath the opponent's fist, and who has been tripped and felt the full force of an adversary's charge. So yeah, you've been kicked around. But that's a good thing, because it taught you something. At the very least, it taught you something about yourself. You, unlike most people, know now what you're capable of. You know that you're tough. You know that you get up after you've got knocked down, and you have tasted your own blood and are not afraid to risk it again. That is very inspiring to me, because instead of trying to run from the pains and trying to always have an easy life, I've tasted my blood, you've tasted yours, and most of us have. And here we are. Here we are.
And it really is the hardest times in life. They do try you, but you also, they change you forever, and they can change you for the better. And they're the most teachable times of your life. I mean, you and I both learned the most during the hard times. We enjoy the good times the most. But, you know, I firmly believe that God allows those other times in our lives to teach us and change us. You know, and Paul one time said something. He said, "I rejoice in my weaknesses." He was very happy about, you know, those difficulties. He said it just made him rely on God all the more, because he realized, you know, he needed help, and he was not, say, the strongest person on the planet Earth. You know, we're always learning that the older we get, the more we learn we didn't know. And the more imperfect I learn that I am, and the more I have to depend on the grace of God. I mean, that's my spiritual moment. And, you know, that's not a bad thing, because that means I'm not alone. And you're not alone, and none of us are alone. And we are all going through trials and difficulties and have to support each other and help each other through life.
That's a perfect way to join my conversation with yours, Dr. Green. I love that, because, you know, the dark times is when we do open our hearts and we seek the spiritual God power that is available to us. But when we're rolling on and everything's beautiful and coming up roses, it's kind of hard to see in the shadow places. And the shadow places is where so often wisdom comes from.
You know, and it's, have you ever been, and I have more times than I can count, eternally grateful to those people in our lives who love us and care about us? And when you are going through that time, the people that show you kindness, simple kindness. And, you know, I was reading this morning, before I came here, part of one of my quiet times was looking at that verse that says, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love." And, you know, that love that people have shown us, that we can show to other people, is of immense value. That's something, you know, really we should be doing every day. And you do day by day. You probably don't know it, but all these people you're helping every day, you're showing that kind of love and compassion, kindness, and caring. And I guess a lot of us do and don't think about it. Maybe we need to be more mindful of that and do it more on purpose, because it is good, especially in these hard times we're going through during COVID. We see so much fear. Let's spread kindness, love, and a complete lack of fear, and let's build people up.
Absolutely, because I know myself, I can certainly get caught up in my own mentality and thinking patterns that are pretty well ingrained and have, you know, deep-seated recordings put into my subconscious. And to be able to take a step back and actually watch myself, then it puts me in a position to be able to hear other people's pains far more deeply and be a compassionate listener. I've gotten to a point where I don't really feel that I'm a problem solver. I want to be a conduit for their own heart and be able to be the kind of listener that people seem to lack today, because so often when we talk to people, they're just, you can see in their eyes, they're thinking about what they will say next rather than really just being totally present with me at that moment. And it's not a flaw of an individual. I've done it most of my life, so I want to be better at that. And I know that you are also, during your busy day, are serving so many people and serving not only their physical being but their heart. And I just give you such credit for that. We're in a great job. I do believe that we can be angels in what we do on a daily basis, but I do have to remind myself. Well, that does it, my friend, for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group and website by Avalon Design Studio. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, Georgia, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. Have a healthy and safe and happy day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.